Welcome to Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast, proudly sponsored by AJR Sports Science and Healthcare Consulting. At AJR, we are committed to offering a comprehensive range of exceptional services, including applied sports science analytics, healthcare and sports medicine consulting, and leadership and coaching development. To learn more about AJR, visit their website at ajrsportsscience.com. I'm your host, Andrew Rizza, an allied healthcare professional with over 25 years of experience. My career has primarily spanned private physical therapy and public school athletics. Driven by curiosity and a passion for the industry, I created the Behind the Sports Medicine podcast to explore the ever-evolving landscape of healthcare with a focus on sports medicine, physical therapy, athletic training, and sports science. Each week, we'll dive into the challenges healthcare professionals encounter and discuss how collaboration can enhance understanding within the industry. Our goal is to improve the experience for patients and athletes alike. Now, on to the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Episode 9, Part 2 of Behind the Sports Medicine Podcast. In this episode, Anthony and I talk about the challenges of managing sleep patterns in athletes, especially when they're traveling across different time zones. We then go on to talk about how we can use tracking systems like Whoop and Oura Ring to help monitor those sleep patterns and other metrics for performance. We then discuss the role of team physicians and how that's important in our ability to be able to come to certain decision-making when it comes to returning athletes to activity. And then we also discuss about how mentorship is very important in our field of athletic training and how we develop as professionals. We then close out to talk about advising young professionals to be patient. They need to be open-minded and willing to learn in order to succeed in this profession. So thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
And that's they're up late, they're traveling, you're on a plane. And we encourage them. We encourage a lot of, you know, the big piece of nutrition with the sleep piece, we do a lot of with stuff with a little bit of melatonin, but drinks that have stuff like calming with taurine and very helpful with getting the body prepared. Yeah, with cherry juice. We do a lot of stuff where we like those type of things, recovery standpoint. But, you know, talking about the hydration part too is that, you know, sometimes – you know, if you want to do like a urine, you know, they think you're going to be testing them for something. You know what I mean? But we do have random drug testing. It's not that. I don't know. They get kind of weirded out about that. Yeah. But, you know, we try to encourage, you know, obviously like the hydration piece as much as we can. And they have all the resources for electrolytes and those things, you know, plenty of supplements from, you know, multivitamins, you know, your fish oils and magnesiums and you name it. And
I've got the whole list.
They have all the resources. And I'm sure there's more stuff that's out there, but they have plenty available for them. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, better than a high school athlete that's eating pizza, chips, and drinking soda.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, these guys still do that too. You know what I mean? As long as that's not their primary and not in, you know, overboard. I think, like I said, you know, I always say, you know, moderation in as best you can. Yeah. I get back to your question. I think those any type of tracking system, especially for energy output, your pulse rate, heart rate, especially the sleep piece. Like if this stuff captures that, I think it's good feedback, an immediate feedback that they can see themselves.
Right.
And there are some plays that have their own. They have their own aura rings. And I have a couple that have the Whoop, you know, strap. Some have the aura ring. And like I said, they may be distributing these to our players. I don't know if this is going to be coming right now. They might start the coaching staff and go from there. But I know with a minor league team, I think Worcester and maybe Portland have them. And the key piece with that is that what they encourage is make sure they wear them at night. Some guys don't like to wear jewelry during the game.
Yeah.
Unless it's in the glove hand. Yeah. Like, you know, obviously a wedding band.
Yeah.
So you'll see some guys that have that on, but they'll only track that sleep piece because that's the information that they want.
Yeah.
You know, perform. But as you know, like sleep is the critical piece, right? And not to keep harping on this, like having gasoline in the gas tank, right? There's not enough gas.
Right.
That puts these guys in some dangerous spots. And that's where they break down.
Now, what, as far as management, you know, upper management in an organization like the Red Sox, Do they kind of stand clear and let you guys do what you need to do? Is there, you're running a business and they're trying to get productivity out of their employees who are the baseball players. And then I think making sure you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing. Are they critical? Or are they just like, hey guys, like, make sure you're doing what you need to do every day. And as long as we're doing that, we're all happy.
No, they're, no, they give us our leeway. And, but obviously they're very involved with their, in our space daily. They'll come in and just check and just see the players. And obviously they'll deal with Brad or Brandon to see how a specific player is doing and where they're at. I mean, the injury report goes out every day.
Yeah.
So everyone's involved, and there's a lot that's on that list and who receives that from upper management. Mm-hmm. Like what, like you said, because it's, there are a lot of moving parts. Because if this player is not getting better, then we have to discuss them on a 10-day, 15-day, or it becomes a 60-day, depending on what you're dealing with. Yeah. And that's how they navigate and how they shift players. Mm-hmm. So they're involved, but they give us, they allow us to do our work and what we're there for, to get them better.
You need to have that support, right? So to kind of piggyback off that, what type of interaction do you have with team physicians, and how are they? Obviously, they're integrated into the system, and they make a lot of decisions. They see these players probably daily.
So obviously we have medical coverage every day. So we have ortho and our gen med that come in. So they typically come in within, depending, like 2 hours prior to the first pitch or so. Usually our gen med sometimes come a little earlier, but typically that's their report time. So we're always their eyes and hands because we're dealing with these guys daily. Super open. It's like your relationship with your docs. That's the way it was when I was at Holy Cross. I mean, we're the ones that kind of lead this. If we feel like someone, hey, we're thinking about getting an MRI, they're usually on board with that too. It all depends, obviously, if someone needs a little more invasive stuff like an injection, mm-hmm. obviously a little further discussion needs to take place and the why behind it or place on the medication, the why behind it. Yeah. But overall, we have a great group of orthopedic physicians that do their rotation along with our gen med physicians as well. And, we have diagnostic testing. We have, fluoro on the premise, and we also have ultrasound diagnostic testing as well, which we can do some injections on site if need be that are guided. Obviously everything needs to be a little more invasive. Obviously they'll be managed either at, the Mass General or another hospital nearby.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think the relationships, I think a lot of young professionals need to hear that the relationship in between, the athlete trainer, the physical therapist, the physician. The communication piece is huge, and I think if you can have that relationship, then it makes everybody's life easier. I feel a lot of people feel as though, or actually young professionals may feel as though, a little bit kind of reserved and don't want to speak to physicians. They feel a little bit more intimidated by them. The physicians want to know what we're seeing because they've received people longer and over a longer duration than they might over a 10 or 15 minute visit. So I think that's important. It's nice that you guys, and again, professional level, you have everything available to you. So someone working in a collegiate setting has a little bit less, and someone in a high school even less than that. So I think kind of seeing what that kind of brings moving forward is a critical piece to the profession.
Yeah. Yeah, without question. And I think like the mentioned the newbies, they need to understand like their role, understand like the comprehensive role, how everyone plays into a decision,
Mm-hmm. I think that a couple of the things before we kind of close out here that I wanted to touch upon, because I feel like these things are the biggest pieces to what makes us successful as healthcare providers, but also like, how do we get better? And it's mentorship. I always look towards mentorship, people that I either new staff that come on, clinical students that I get. Is there someone within like your profession that you've worked with as an athletic trainer that's been a great mentor to you, or several mentors that you go and you still bounce stuff off of, that's made your career what it is today?
Right. Yeah, I think, like I said, I think like Gary Geisler was a big influence for me when I was at Harvard. He was a great resource for me when being there and the way he approached things too. And just see his perspective on things. Fortunate enough also, not directly work with him, but I was kind of a patient of his, but a learning patient is Dan Dyrek.
Mm-hmm.
So I always take like a little bit of fruit from each person. And obviously when I was at BU, Maria was a mentor to me, obviously, Mo, and a lot of those people, you know, part of my tree, and made me who I am today. But you know, when I got to Holy Cross, it was like I felt like I was on an island by myself in a way, because you know, here I am. I just took a job where, I mean, I was excited because I wanted to eventually be a head athletic trainer. And then it's just like, wow, what comes with it, right? And yeah, then it's like the responsibility and that
about.
Right. Right. And the challenges. And but what I did too, I always put myself in a position of you know, to read a lot. And then also when I attended the NATA or any type of courses, I always put myself in some advanced courses or taking stuff that's kind of current. And I still stay that way today because, you know, our field is always growing, mm-hmm, with new stuff and new techniques of that matter. But I think that's what made me better. And I also, I'm very close with, become a friend of mine too. And he's, you know, he's basically, his work is, you know, the Mulligan technique, but, you know, he was close with Mulligan himself, you know what I mean? So my philosophy is like what, you know, Colin Warren, Maitland, and those type of guys, you know, from, that's what made me better at my craft from a manual standpoint. I still keep in touch with Mike Dufresne. You know, he lives in Connecticut, but, you know, he's come up to visit me, but we stay in touch. If I come across something, you know, he's right there as a resource too, you know. It's the same thing. Like, we have these modalities too that are very useful. You know, like, you know, we build these toolboxes. You know, obviously, you know, to your point, obviously we're in an industry where we do have a little more monies, I guess, to purchase some of these things that are expensive. I did have some good tools at Holy Cross as well. I have a shockwave laser and those type of things, and they use for certain purposes. I always feel at the end of the day, it's how good your hands are. And how you manage that. Mm-hmm. But stating that, I've always tried to build that relationship with those folks that come in to demonstrate these modalities too. And because if I come across those cross bridges, I call them up. Those are the relationships. I mean, that's the way I approach things. I try to figure some things out, but then if I'm kind of stuck on something. But usually, like, they're like, look, you're on point. You're doing the right thing. Just maybe check this or check that or whatever it may be that may benefit or help.
No, I agree 100%. Is there, thinking of a new graduate coming out of school that wants to be a collegiate athlete trainer, professional athlete trainer, at some level, what advice would you have for them? Knowing what you know, what you've been through, and the kind of the path you've taken, what would your, you know, one or two things you might pass on for advice that might help them?
Yeah, I really think, you know, and I've seen it too, and, you know, being at Holy Cross, because we will have, you know, we had that relationship with a lot of affiliated schools that had our students come for, especially for preseason. And you would see right away if, and they'll even state it themselves. They'll say, I would love to be a Division I program. They think they are until they get into it. And then they see the time commitment and what needs to be done. And some people are like, I just can't do this. I'd rather be at Division III, because they're coming from a Division III program, mm-hmm, or a lower program. And it's just a time commitment. So they have to understand that, obviously, it's a huge time commitment. You know, the big trend right now is this whole work-life balance. I get it. I understand that very much. Obviously, we both have families, and that's the priority and important thing, but they have to work. You know, a lot of these young guns that are coming out now, they all want to make a lot of money and not put the time or effort in it. You know what I mean? I think they have to be open-minded, learn as much as you can, you know, and not to be Mr. Know-it-all, Mrs. Know-it-all. It's not that. I think they just need to be open, because especially in this field too, like any other, right? You can't buy, they need to gain experience. I guess you can buy experience. I guess you can, if you're hiring someone, you want someone that's been seasoned. Let's put it that way. It's been out there, right? But you have to pay for it. A lot of these young folks want to get paid the higher salaries, but haven't put that time or have that experience because they are going to meet these challenges that they haven't seen or managed for that matter. And I think it just takes time. It's, you know, it's just patience. You always try to take them under your wing and teach as much as you can teach them. Sometimes those challenges, especially when it's at Holy Cross, you know, you're trying to manage a team and all that. I try to like give that piece to my staff to kind of bring them under their wings, I guess. But I mean, obviously I was there for them if they had questions. But I like that piece too. It's a little bit of a teaching piece part of it. Like if it was more taking them aside and teach them how some techniques and things of that nature, I always enjoy that piece of it. But for them moving forward, if they're trying to get into a collegiate setting, even a clinical setting for that matter, they just have to be, you know, patient, open-minded, and learn as much as you can.
Yeah. Well said. I think, there's a lot of people that want to come out of school making $200,000-$400,000 a year, and that really isn't reality, right? It's got to be we've put in a lot of years doing what we do, and we are successful because I think the time we've spent, the people that we've learned from, the commitments that we held, and the sacrifices that we've made. So I think it just doesn't happen. You really need to put the work in, and yeah, you can speak to it. I can speak to it. The people that came before us can speak to it. You know, your Jamie Musler, MO, Gary, you know, we go down the line of people, and you know, you definitely have to put it in. Close out today. I know you're very busy and I do appreciate your time. Is there anything within the path that you've chosen that you would change? If you went back and saw your 23 or 4 or 5 year old self, still looking the same you look now, still shredded. what would you do differently, if anything, or would you still kind of remain and would have taken the path that you've taken?
You know, taking my path, I think, you know, as much as I love athletic training, the profession itself, you know, and because when we were in school, there was a big talk about the dual certification with ATPT. Mm-hmm. It was a change about the Massachusetts laws too, about, you know, third party billing. So a lot of those things, and it kind of can be still grounded with athletic training in hindsight. Probably should have looked at that the whole PT just has a dual certification, just so it can open a lot of more doors. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, there were thoughts of me also, to be honest with you. I was thinking about PA school because my feeling's always been with orthopedics that I want to, you know, become an orthopedic surgeon, you know. And I almost went that direction, you know, and contemplating that right when I was wrapping up, undergrad, grad school. And, but I still stuck with it, still had that leaning towards that a little bit, even as at Holy Cross, you know, just because of the time and the commitment, you know, with athletic and then athletic training, then the whole compensation piece too, right? You're just trying to balance everything. Uh-huh. And you say, is that really worth it? You know what I mean? I think that's the challenge you're facing today with the cost of living and everything. And that's, I think that's what's kind of hurting the profession a little bit, although the curriculums for that matter, how much the education costs and what they're coming out and making. Not to get sidetracked here with that, with your question, but would I make changes? No, I love what I do. Still would end up doing something where I can help people. And I always feel like, you know, you always try to put a footprint and make the place better than it was, you know what I mean? And I hope I did that when I was at Holy Cross. Currently, where I'm now at the Red Sox, I know I brought new things. You know, part of me joining the staff was have a different perspective. I came from the collegiate setting. A lot of these guys have come from the minor leagues and worked their way up. I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot that they haven't seen. And the fact that, you know, when being in multi-sports and overseeing multi-sports, you've seen upper fracture dislocations, you know, in lower extremities, upper extremities, dislocations, you know, reduce them, I've done a lot in my career. You do see some injuries, but you don't see them at those. I've seen limbs facing the opposite direction. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So, and obviously that's the nature of the sports that I was covering. You know what I mean? And not that you don't see some trauma here with baseball, but it's much different. But, you know, you, like I said, I just hope I left an impression or left Holy Cross. And I know I left it in good hands, and it's still excelling. And same thing with the Red Sox. Every little bit where I can contribute, I contribute. And if the players want to see me, they see me. If they want to see someone else, they see someone else. You plug along and move along. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you said it best. And I go back to this, often is that I talk to staff about this and even, clinical students. It's not about you. It's about the patient. You know, how can you influence them? Whatever you're doing that day could be life-changing for them. And you don't realize it. So if you can provide your expertise and your spin on it and you're making a difference, then at the end of the day, you're winning. So I think that's why we do what we do every day. So I think you did say it best. Anthony, I do appreciate your time. You're a busy man. I value our friendship over the years. And if you went to PA school, I never would have met you. So I'm glad you did. So.
Right.
Thanks.
So I think I think we would have still met, I think, and then it would have been after the fact. But But maybe not having the Zoom call.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, exactly. This podcast.
I mean, you know what? I truly look back and I reference our days, just the short 3 months I was at Holy Cross at Harvard, and some of the stuff that I saw, and Mo kind of slapping some sense into me the way he would with people. I think it definitely allowed me to grow as a professional and look like towards the future. So I appreciate everything.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
you're
welcome. Man.
I appreciate having me. It was really good open discussion. Hopefully you get some listeners on this, and
I'll have to have you have you share this on your social media platform if you have one. I think you do, but. And then maybe I get a couple sponsors out there that want to sponsor it. So we'll see.
Well, keep doing the work you do. I know you do great work. I'm so happy for you. I know you got your new your master's here.
Yeah.
I love the direction you're going in. I can't say enough, and hopefully we can collaborate. And I know I'm mentioning him. He's my other half, Ron Lehan. Ron, he's very interested in it. Yeah. And maybe you have Ron on one of these talks too. But, he's a pretty sharp guy and, can share a lot too. And I know he's very open to this type of information as well. I think you're hitting the nail on the head too, especially with the recovery standpoint, the sleep piece.
Yeah.
As more and more you can, educate, keep at the high school level and obviously the collegiate level, just about recovery, that's so, so important.
Well, thanks, Bud. I'll let you get back onto your day and then, see if you guys can rally some wins for Beantown.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. And we need a win for some reason. We'll hopefully we have a little bit of a streak going here at home. We've been kind of road warriors.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll try to get, keep it here at home too. Keep it going.
Awesome. Thanks, Bud.
All right. You got it. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to the Behind the Sports Medicine podcast, proudly sponsored by AJR Sports Science and Healthcare Consulting. At AJR, we are committed to offering a comprehensive range of exceptional services, including applied sports science analytics, healthcare and sports medicine consulting, and leadership and coaching development. To learn more about AJR, visit their website at ajrsportsscience.com. This is your host, Andrew Rizza. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a like, comment, and share it on social media. Access all of our episodes on platforms such as Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. Stay updated by following us on Instagram at Behind Sports Med Podcast, on X at AJR Sports Sci, or visiting our website at ajrsportsscience.podbean.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at AJR Sports Science for upcoming content. Thank you for tuning in and stay tuned for our next episode.